écoutez Travelers 411.
Explorez le monde.
Explore your world.
Explore your world.
Explore your world.
Travelers 411, explore your world.
Delighted you're with me. I want to whisk you off to experience a flight on Lufthansa German Airlines from Boston to Munich round trip through the eyes of four-year-old Sarah Isby, David Isby's daughter, our barefoot beachcomber and on-air travel companion here. You've got to listen to this right after this. Portions of today's show are brought to you by Lufthansa German Airlines, whose global route network offers business and leisure travelers great connections worldwide with hubs in Frankfurt and Munich. Visit Lufthansa.com. Lufthansa, nonstop you. So, Sarah, tell me about your airplane trip on Lufthansa to Germany.
When I was going back to my house, I was almost by my house, but the pilot was driving.
The pilot was driving?
Yeah,
the pilot was driving the plane.
Because pilots drive the plane.
Yeah, first I thought you were saying pirates, but no, pilots, yes.
Yes.
Yes, so the pilot flew the plane from Boston to Munich?
But that's why you have to keep your seatbelt on when it goes up, so you don't fall out.
That's right. That's a good thing.
When the light goes off, then you can take your seatbelt off.
Oh, is there any other good advice people should know about how to behave in an airplane besides keeping your seatbelt on when you're in your seat?
Yes.
Tell me.
You have to keep your seatbelt on so you're safe.
Yes.
And if you have something in your hand, then you have to be super, 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 super careful, because you have to be a little careful because maybe you're going to fall off the seat if you don't have your seatbelt on.
Well, that's true, too. I mean, you wouldn't want to be standing in your seat jumping around. That would be bad.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, because then you'll fall off, and then when the plane's going up, you'll fall upside down, and then you have to go to the hospital.
So tell me about, no, you don't want any of that bad stuff to happen when you're, especially when you're not near your house. When you're traveling someplace, you're going someplace wonderful.
Well, when you're going back home the first time.
Uh-huh. Okay, so when you were in the airplane.
But you know, the pilot is way on the end of the airplane.
Yeah, in the front. Why do you think they have the pilot in the front of the airplane?
Because maybe the pilot needs to do everything that he needs to do, and he has to drive.
Can I tell you something funny?
What?
Sometimes the pilot isn't he. Sometimes the pilot is she.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are lady pilots, too.
Yeah.
You think you'd like to be a pilot?
Yeah, but baby likes to be that. You know, she always says, I am a pilot.
Uh-huh. Okay, you could be a pilot. So tell me, Sarah.
But baby said she's going to be a pilot.
A pirate?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she didn't say she was going to be a pirate. She said she was going to be a pilot. English is a funny language. But you speak German, too, don't you? Did you enjoy your plane ride with Lufthansa German Airlines? Did you understand the people when they were speaking German?
Should I tell you something?
You should tell me everything. I don't want to miss anything.
I speak German to Mommy, and I speak English to Daddy.
Well, pretend I'm Mommy and tell me something nice.
To Daddy?
No, tell me something nice. Pretend I'm Mommy. Tell me something in German.
No.
Okay, you don't have to. So when you were on the plane and some of the people on the sometimes on the plane they'll say something in English. On the
You can't stand on the plane because then you'll fall back.
Okay, so when you're listening to them talk and they come on the loudspeaker system and they speak in English and then they speak in German, did you understand them when they spoke in German?
No.
Why?
Because I forgot what I didn't hear what they said. Oh. After that, I hear what they said.
Oh, okay. You know, and sometimes they're using big words that maybe you didn't learn yet. I understand you learned a lot of new words when you were in Germany.
Mm-mm.
None?
No.
Daddy tells me you learned at least 100 new words.
But, you know, there's not a lot of people in Germany. Just two.
Oh, grandma and grandpa?
No, Oma and Opa.
Yeah, I get it. So tell me about your seat in the airplane. Did it do something surprising when you got tired and you wanted to rest?
It was going down.
And then what happened?
It was going down like this.
It was going down like this? You have to come over here where the microphone is. Yes, I see. It's going down flat like a bed on the floor. All right, then.
Down.
But down enough to feel like a bed.
Yeah.
You like that little bed?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're now spoiled rotten. Nothing like taking your first memorable.
You know what?
Excuse me, 1 second. Nothing like taking your first memorable transatlantic flight in business class on Lufthansa German Airlines. Spoiled for life we are. Talk to me.
Guess what?
What?
You know what this seat was doing?
What was the seat doing?
There was buttons and...
And what?
Do you know what? It's
what?
A secret. And A...
What did it do?
And
what was the secret thing that the seat did?
There was a little button to push, and there was a table, and the table was going out so I could eat.
And the table came out and you could eat.
But not by itself.
Did you push the button that does a massage?
No, because it's very hard, and I will pinch my fingers.
Uh-huh.
Just grown-ups can do it.
Oh, did Daddy tell you that? Beware of advice from Daddy's. So you weren't allowed to touch that button because it would pinch your fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Thanks, Dad. The first of a long line of misguided information, but okay. So now they brought you food? What did you eat on the plane?
I don't know. I forgot because...
Come close. You have to be near here.
I don't know what...
Was it yummy?
Yeah, it was yummy. I don't know what I was eating because it was a little while until I was coming back. Do you know what? When I was doing the first time I was back?
What?
Going asleep.
Oh, you slept most of the trip.
Yeah, yeah. Not on the plane. When I was home, I was going right to bed.
Oh, yeah, they call that jet lag.
I was going right to bed because it was super, super late.
And you were super, super tired.
Yeah. Do you know what I was doing when I was super tired? I was...
Like that? All right, let me see if I can describe like that. Like that is your eyes are tightly shut and your face is very peaceful and you are sleeping like a baby. Oh, how sweet. But you have to wake up and talk to me now.
Yeah.
So,
Sarah, tell Stephanie about when we went on the big Ferris wheel at Oktoberfest, the big ride.
Oh, is that in Munich?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me about
it
the big ride.
It was a big circle with houses on it, and it was this big.
Oh, it has, like, cabins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could fit, like, 8 to 10 people in each of these.
Well, you know, I like those cabiny things on Ferris wheels better than seats where you swing in the breeze.
Yes.
As long as it doesn't fall off, you're fine.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah, that was a super long slide. It was...
A big long slide?
Big long slide, too, yeah.
Alpine slide, I would guess.
But I couldn't go by myself because it was the
You were too little?
But the first time, it was going, I was still, my bum was still on the slide with mommy, and then, the first time was super quick, and then I was going through with the gate.
Wow.
Through.
So do you like going to Germany?
Yes.
And, and everybody was happy to see you. You need to go back to Germany in the wintertime and go, Daddy will take you skiing. Daddy, have you learned to ski?
I'll be at the bottom of the mountain at the bar.
Something like me.
Yes,
you know, it's
exactly.
Like waving from the bottom. So you had a wonderful trip? Well, I want to thank you so much for coming by today, Sarah, and giving us an update on your international trips. And you know what we're going to do?
What?
We're
going to
make you our international girl travel correspondent. So Daddy's going to have to take you to lots of wonderful places so you can come back and share your experiences with our audience. Thank you for coming. Do I get a hug? Oh, boy. Excuse me. I need a hug now.
Oh, how delicious.
We'll have to have her on as a regular feature, David. The proud papa.
It sounds like a plan, but you have to say one thing to Stephanie.
Uh-oh.
Thank you.
And can you say it of Deutsch?
No.
Come on.
Yes, you can.
Dankeschön.
Bitte schön. Stay with me. We'll be right back. You know, I've been talking for some time, probably 2 years now, about the Global Entry Trusted Traveler Program, which I am sorry to say my good friend Mr. Isby did not take the time to do, which would have saved him about 2 hours in the immigration hall with two children under 4 years old. Do you know how much fun it is to stand in a line with two children under 4 years old for about 2 hours after you've just come across a transatlantic flight that was about 8 hours? Which means that you got to the airport 11 hours ago. Which means that you left whatever house or hotel or wherever you were 12 hours ago. So now you finally arrive at your destination 12 hours later and everybody's exhausted. Do you really want to end this wonderful trip standing in an immigration hall with 3,000 strangers, some of whom are coughing? Let me add that, and sneezing. Nothing makes me happier than zipping through that immigration hall. And when I land, within 90 seconds, I will be out of the immigration hall and those 3,000 people will still be standing there. Now, where did 3,000 people come from? It's not always 3,000. Depends on the time of day that you land and how many other flights came in. But I'm going to tell you, I have been in immigration halls in JFK, Miami, Newark, Boston, San Francisco, arriving from various places around the world, sometimes connecting to a domestic flight to get home, other times being close enough to home, the car is there, we drive. And if 10 flights come in at the same time and they're all carrying 200 to 300 people each, you're looking at somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 people hitting immigrations at the same time. Is a terrible way to end the trip, really. You know, when you take a cruise, the two worst parts of the cruise are getting on and getting off. It's horrible. And the bigger the ship, the more annoying it is. Although some cruise lines have really dramatically changed the way embarkation and disembarkation takes place, it's still miserable. It's miserable. So what do? Apply for Global Entry Trusted Traveler status. American citizens are eligible. Foreign nations, many of them are eligible. And then it comes down to, do you have a clean record and are you a good guy? And you're going to need to go to a local international airport, probably the one you normally would fly from. And when we did ours, I planned our face-to-face interview, because you go through an online process, fill out the application form. And it's $100 a person, but it's good for 5 years. And I don't know if American Express is still running the deal, but when we did ours, we had our global status, global entry trusted traveler status for about 3 or 4 months when American Express came out with this deal for platinum card holders, where they would give you a credit of $100 per person that was charged to that account. But even if you have to pay for it, it's good for 5 years. It's costing you $20 a year. Can I tell you, and it's not just for one trip. So, you know, if you go to Canada, Mexico, Bahamas, Bermuda, South America, Central America, anywhere in the Caribbean, if you go to Europe, Asia, Africa, wherever, each time you return to the U.S., you avoid those lines. Oh, it's a blessing. And now, they keep teasing us. And they keep teasing us about a new program called TSA PreCheck for domestic travel that will make it easier for you to get through the security lines when you are flying within the U.S. We're going to go off and talk about the Titanic and going down in a capsule to visit the Titanic with Fran Capo, the world's fastest talking woman. And after that, I'm going to bring you up to date on the TSA pre-check program. Wouldn't you love to go through that line at security and not take off your shoes, your belt, your watch, your computer out of the case? Wouldn't you love to just walk through? I'm going to tell you how to do that after we talk with Fran Capo right after this. At the Biz Expo, which you can hear is very busy, at the Javits Center in New York City, I had the pleasure of reconnecting once again with Fran Capo, who is a member of an organization I belong to called Company for Dessert that always does creative, imaginative, fun happening events. And in this case, running the first of four competitions for the best dessert in the USA. And this contest competition is to determine the best dessert in New York City. And I think I've reached my sugar limit. How about you, Fran?
Oh, definitely. If I have any more, forget it. I'm going to be zooming around here like a roadrunner.
Oh, can you imagine that?
Yeah. Zoom, zoom, what's that?
You may remember Fran. She's been designated for some decades now, I would say, the world's fastest talking female. Maybe we'll make you do that before this is over. Just keep
it
clean.
I will. They won't know because it'll go so fast. No,
that could be true.
It's like I chew out my husband in 603 words a minute. He doesn't even know. Was I in a fight? You're not only into over, you're lost. Yeah, good.
I have to tell you, I had a friend years ago on Long Island. She may be listening. Her name is Jemmy London. A wonderful person. I haven't seen her in decades now. And she was convinced that nobody listened when you spoke anyway. So there were times at cocktail parties when she was being introduced to or shaking hands with or finishing a conversation with somebody who was completely non-engaged. You know the people who stop to talk with you and they're looking over your shoulder to see who they'd rather.
Exactly. Right. And then you're sitting there going, am I bothering you?
Right. Yeah. who they'd rather be talking to. And she used to say something that sounded like, thank you very much. Only that's not what she said.
Oh, that's hysterical. I love it.
And people didn't even pick up on it.
No.
They just say, you're welcome, you know.
Yeah, they just smile.
She,
yeah.
Yeah. And she would just, you know, it was as obscene as it gets. And she was convinced people just don't listen to it. Nobody reacted, you know. It was like, Maybe it was like, did she really say what I thought? She's, nah, she didn't say that.
Oh, that's great. Well, that's just like when you get double talkers and people can't figure out, is that guy really saying I don't want to ask him? You know? And then you just sit there and you go, seriously, can't they just say I have no clue what the hell you're talking about?
Well, that happens far too often, particularly when I'm listening to politicians.
Oh, yeah, that's a different story. They purposely don't want you to know.
It's a whole other ballgame. When we were talking earlier, I asked if you'd make time to come back and sit down with me because you and I were chatting between interview sessions with another gentleman that was here visiting this incredible event at the Javits Center. And I mentioned that you need to come with me to Ireland, particularly in April. Mm-hmm. But actually, you can go any time of the year because the places I want to drag you to aren't just open to commemorate the Titanic and its tragic end. And also its amazing beginning and the build out and whatnot in Belfast at the Belfast Titanic museum exhibit attraction, amazingness that it is. It's quite remarkable. And also at the Lahardon, little tiny town in Attergul Parish in County Mayo, where 14 people saved diligently to buy passage on the Titanic.
Wow.
Three of them made it. One became a nun. One settled in New York City. And one settled in Chicago, and her great-great-granddaughter won the Rose of Tralee for Chicago, which is kind of like a beauty contest for people who are Irish descendants, and they have it all over.
Oh, okay.
In all kinds of places, and then they all the winners of the different locales compete against each other for the Rose of Tralee, you know.
Kind of like this chocolate event all over the place afterwards.
Right, made of rosebuds instead of
chocolate.
Yeah. So, you said, you know, I actually went down to see the Titanic. Now, I went down to see the shipyard where the Titanic was built in Belfast, and that's what makes the museum there remarkable, because you can go to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and there's a wonderful Titanic exhibit there. And John Jocelyn, who owns that and is responsible with his wife for creating that, also created the Titanic exhibit in Branson, Missouri.
Well, you talking about the one that roams or a stationary one?
Stationary.
Oh, okay.
But the Belfast Titanic Museum attraction, it's hard to call it a museum, really, because it's very interactive. But that's right on the site of where the Titanic was built. So it adds a level of history to it.
Right, right.
And then you popped in with your normal insanity that, you know, you actually went down in this submarine-like vehicle down to visit and commiserate with the Titanic. So tell us this story.
Well,
I mean, if this isn't the ultimate in traveling, I don't know what is. Firstly, how did you get to where the Titanic sunk?
Okay, the way that I actually got even involved in the whole thing was I had, like you said, I do crazy adventures.
Yes, you do.
So I had done a book signing at the top of Kilimanjaro. And that picture of me doing the book signing, the top of Kilimanjaro, circled around the world. And I got an email out of the blue from Brian Day O'Connor, which
Stop.
I didn't...
What was the book about?
It was Adrenaline Adventures. And that was the book that I did the book signing up there. And also Almost a Wise Guy.
Did you climb Kilimanjaro?
I climbed Kilimanjaro with my son. It took 7 days.
How old was he?
At the time, he was 16. And he kept going, it's not getting any closer. And I'm like, no, 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 it is. And he kept going, because at the night before you summit, they want you to get up at midnight so that you're at summit at dawn. And we're climbing, and they said it was going to be like 10 degrees. Well, it was minus 15 degrees, 45-mile-an-hour winds. And my son's going like this, we're going to die. I'm like, we're not going to die. And he's like, we're going to die. I'm like, we're not going to die. We had our the wind jackets and the different layers of clothes. But let me tell you something.
Did you have those face masky things on? How do you breathe in that kind of weather?
Well, see, also because it's altitude sickness, because once you're over 10,000 feet, the air, it's literally like having a clothespin on your nose and a sock in your mouth. And so the air is thinner. If you even run just like a short distance, you're out of breath. And while we're climbing, my son's going...
That happens to me anyway.
See, maybe just blame it on altitude sickness, no matter where you are.
Yeah, right. All right.
So the picture of my son and I doing the book signing at the Top of the World circulated, and we got the email from Brian Day O'Connor.
He is.
And it turns out he's Sandra Day O'Connor's son, the former U.S. Supreme Court Justice. But I didn't know that at the time.
And he sent you an email because?
He said, I think it's amazing that you take your son on these adventures. And P.S., I'm an adventurer, too. And he said, and I am going down to the Titanic. So I wrote back, kidding around. I went, hey, is there room for another person? And then he said, are you serious? I said, I didn't know that people could go down to the Titanic. I thought it was only in a movie. You're scientists. So he said, well, there's requirements. I said, well, what are the requirements? He said,
we start
you
with the IQ.
No, well, first, why are you doing it? No. First,
how crazy are you? We do a sanity assessment.
Yeah. So first he said, it was you can't have high blood pressure. I said, not a problem. Second one, he said, is you can't be claustrophobic. I said, why? What happens? He said, you're in a 7-foot submersible. If you're claustrophobic and you're down there.
The heebie-jeebies
just thinking about that. Right? He goes, they shoot you with a dart gun. I'm like, a dart gun?
Of what?
Like they would shoot an animal because you can't panic if you're down at the bottom of the ocean. I said, what's the third requirement?
Wait a minute. Is it a tranquilizer or they put you out of your misery for good?
No, not for good. Although, when you come up, they don't want dead people. Yeah, just to relax you while you're there so you're not panicking in the submersible because it's only 7 feet. So the third requirement, they said, is you can't have excessive flatulence.
And I said, I don't even want to hear the end of that.
No. So then I said, why? He goes, it's pure oxygen in the submersible. If you,
I don't want to hear the end of the sentence.
No, if you do, you can blow it up. So I'm thinking that is not the way I want to go down in history. Fast talker blows up Titanic with their butt, you know. So I look it up.
Where else but one of my shows would you hear such information?
So I didn't want
a unique traveler.
So I didn't want to ask them what too much was. So I looked it up and found out the average person 18 times a day. So I started counting. When I got to 12, I figured I was safe. So now I'm going down, and I think I'm going down with Brian Day O'Connor. And they, I decide that I'm going to do a book signing down there because no one else did a book signing. But I found out that no one had ever said a prayer down by the rec site. So I became an ordained minister so that I could be the first person to ever say a prayer down by the rec site. So now I think I'm going down with Brian Day O'Connor.
A minister of the Church of the Briny Deep?
Listen, it was the Minister of Humor and Hope.
Okay.
Yeah. It was an online, thing.
Got it.
But I did get a U.S. Naval chaplain to give me a prayer, non-denominational prayer, that I could say down there. So now, if you ever seen the movie The Titanic, you know in the beginning they have, when they think that they're getting the blue star, coming out of that safe, there's a guy behind it, bald guy, gray, he's white and salt and pepper hair, and he's got glasses, and he goes, no diamond? That guy's Anatoly Salgovich. He's the one that designed the mirrors that actually go down to the Titanic. He's the one in all the Cameron films. So they have him with the heavy Russian accent. They switched my partner from Brian Day O'Connor to this Japanese woman. I have nothing against Japanese women. And me, the New Yorker.
Does she speak English?
She does, but with a heavy, they have a very hairy accent. So we're circling down, and I actually say to them, I said, there's a bathroom down there. They go, no bathroom. I said, well, how long are we down there? They said, 12 hours. I said, what if I have to go to the bathroom? They said, we'll give you a packet. No, I said, a packet of what? They said, we'll give you a packet, put up against your body, you go next to the pilot's head. I go, I am not going next to the pilot's head. I'll wear it, depends. But then I'm thinking, well, there's only three of us. If it's not the other two, they know it's me. So I figured I would hold it. So now we're circling down. We're 2.5 miles down. You're looking out through a 6-inch window because the pressure on the submersible is so much, the windows can burst if it's more than that. And we're down by the bow, total darkness. You're only seeing albino fish because there's no light of day down there. And she's going like this, I need to take more picture. I need to take more picture. And he's going, you took 1,000 pictures of the bow. We need to move on. She goes, no, I'm not happy. I'm not happy. I'm only 80% happy. He goes, I'm going 80% happy. How are you 80% happy? She goes, I have an idea. We go to back up. Take picture whole ship. He goes, no one ever take picture whole ship.
Well,
too big.
There's a good reason to take it. And so, God bless the Japanese lady and her good idea.
too big, right? And so he goes, I have a better idea. Next time I put you outside submarine. And she goes, okay. I'm like, he wants to kill you. Do you get it? So that was my Titanic story. And the pictures are on my website of the
which
cups and everything. FranCapo.com.
Okay, so we will check out FranCapo.com. And if things have gone right, Fran and her IT team have uploaded at our members' photos at travelers411.com lots of pictures so we can all enjoy and appreciate them today. I'm so glad that we got to talk about this. And I've got to get you to Ireland, to Láthair Don,
yes,
to the park, Memorial Park, and the church, St. Patrick's Church, where they took out two of the Gothic stained glass windows and replaced them with two windows, one commemorating the people who left the town and the other commemorating those 14 people boarding the Titanic to leave.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very moving.
Yeah.
And then that's in County Mayo, and the other is going up to Northern Ireland to Belfast to go to the Titanic Belfast exhibit there. Thanks
so
for
we'll
being
talk.
With us.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we will.
Okay.
Stay with me, everybody. This is Stephanie Abrams. This new program that the government is expanding, it's been in beta testing with, for a while it was only four airlines and four airports. Now it's been expanded to probably six or eight airlines, something like that. Maybe it's 10. But it's about to roll out, and you have to watch for the rollout date of the TSA pre-check program. Now, if you're already a member approved in the Global Entry Trusted Traveler program for international travelers so that you zip through like lightning the immigration area on re-entering the U.S. and the customs area. And remember, if there's a line at customs and there's no special line for a Global Entry Trusted Traveler, you have front of the line privileges. You do not have to stand behind the 25 people in front of you who all look like they've run away from somewhere and they've got every belonging they ever owned in suitcases and boxes and packages. You have absolute right to go to the front of that line and tell them that you're a Global Entry Trusted Traveler. But this new program, the TSA PreCheck program, is designed for U.S. domestic travel. And what it gives you is the ability to, firstly, go into a special line, which, you know, is going to be, what are you going to have in front of you? Four people? Two people? No people? As opposed to the TSA lines, which sometimes can be, my gosh, David, how long have you seen TSA lines getting through to take off your shoes and your belt and your hip boots and whatever?
You could be there for a while, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I go to airports and there are 150, 200 people. And if you're not, in some cases, if I'm in a U.S. airport and I'm going to be flying business class or first class with an international traveler, that airline may have its own TSA line as a privilege for its upper class of service customers. So you get to bypass that. JetBlue, domestically, when you buy extra legroom seats, you automatically get, priority line to go through the TSA checkpoint. You know, it speeds your life along. And I think JetBlue also sells for $10 or $15 or something, a speedy TSA security check line privilege that you can just buy by itself if you want to. I should keep that a secret. Keep the line moving. In any event, if you are a Global Entry Trusted Traveler, international traveler, you will automatically already be approved for the TSA PreCheck. And what TSA PreCheck does for you is when you get to the security checkpoint, you have a special line. You don't have to take off your shoes. You don't have to take off your belt with the metallic button that would go ding dong. You don't have to take your liquids out of your suitcase, but you do have to follow the rules about a quart size clear plastic sack with liquids and gels not exceeding 3 ounces each. Mommy's out there. Go check in the supermarket and see if anybody makes juice in 3 ounce containers, because that'll solve your sippy cup problems. Also, if you can buy plastic containers that are 3 ounces, you can have as many as will fit in that little plastic bag, you know, one per passenger. But you don't, and then you don't have to take out your computer, from your suitcase. You do have to go through the screening process. But it's marvelous. It'll speed you along. TSA PreCheck. Go check it out. And come back next week. This is Stephanie Abrams. Gotta fly now.